This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The federal government's jobs report just released showing the U.S. economy has bounced back from February's numbers. The Labor Department reporting this morning the nation added 196,000 jobs in March. That's a huge improvement over February when the economy created just 20,000 jobs. The unemployment rate last month remained at 3.8%. A young man found by police in Kentucky this week who claimed to be a boy who went missing at age 6 in 2011 is actually not Timothy Pitson, but rather 23-year-old Brian Michael Rennie. And this is USA Radio News. The military says one person is dead and another wounded after a shooting at a Virginia Naval Air Base this morning. It happened at Air Station Oceana in Virginia Beach and was on lockdown for some time, but that has since been lifted. This is USA Radio News.
Liberty Mutual Insurance knows you're focusing on the road right now, so we'll just describe our newspaper print ad to you. It's a tiny square that's colored a newspaper shade of gray that has you thinking yellow. As the words read, Liberty Mutual customizes your insurance so you only pay for what you need. Now that's the kind of print ad that'll make you glad you still read newspapers.
Go to LibertyMutual.com for a customized quote and you could save.
Liberty, 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 Liberty.
Coverage is underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company and affiliates. Equal housing insurer.
Lowe's knows you're the pro who does it right to find more ways to save because your business depends on it. We do it right, too, with savings every day, plus even more deals during our Spring Black Friday sale. Get $40 off 5-gallon buckets of select paint and stains via Lowe's gift card rebate. Buy three or more Purdy brushes and get 15% instant savings. And get up to 35% off select appliance special values. Do it right for less. Start with Lowe's. Paint and stain offer valid through 410. Purdy and appliance offers valid through 417. Exclusions apply. See store for details. U.S. only.
President Trump will be in California today to look at a new section of border wall and get a briefing from border security. Yesterday, he backed away from a threat to shut down the border, issuing a, quote, one-year warning to Mexico to stop the flow of illicit drugs and illegal immigrants across the border. The discussion continues after misconduct allegations against former VP Joe Biden, who is expected to soon announce a run for the White House. This woman says his gestures towards her were very welcome. Former congressional hopeful Heather Bevin from Florida says she was happy to get a bear hug and a kiss at a rally back in 2012.
He's warm, he's gracious, he's energetic, and I feel like I got a really special moment with the vice president.
At least seven women, though, have raised allegations of inappropriate touching by Biden. And this is USA Radio News.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now, before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290.
The way young people are interacting these days continues to change. But what is healthy and what's not? USA Radio Network's Tim Berg has the story.
The popular video game Fortnite is changing the way many kids play together and interact. Around 250 million people have played and downloaded the game since it debuted over a year and a half ago. Dr. Sue Varma joined CBS this morning to talk about executive function and when children need to know it's time to get up from the video games and go outside and play, and also some of the addictive qualities that surround these video games.
Look, it really depends on the child, right? You have to know the child. Do they have the ability to be able to say no? And really what it comes down to is, do they have a more compelling activity, right? Because a lot of times kids are going to say, why do I have to stop? What's more interesting than this? I don't find homework interesting. Yeah. But I think you have to give them what we call a healthy diet of other pleasurable activities. Nothing can replace the human connection. If your kids really enjoy spending time with you, with friends, reward that as behavior. So can we go to your favorite movie? Can we go to a play? Can we go outdoor hiking? Can we go rock climbing?
More problems for Empire actor Jesse Smollett. Chicago authorities are planning to sue him for not paying the $135,000 cost to cover the investigation into his claims of being beaten up and held captive by two masked men, Earlier, the Illinois Chiefs of Police Association called on the prosecutor who dropped the charges against Smollett to resign from his post. For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with Reputation Defender. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with Reputation Defender. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771. For your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with Reputation Defender. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
After the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here. For more information on the show, you go to BillMartinezLive.com. It's all right there. In fact, any of the past interviews, and if you miss anything whatsoever, they're right there because we're givers, absolutely free. Hey, Bill Federer is with us now. Yes, the best-selling author, president of Amerisearch, and we're going to be talking about income tax. Yes, tis the season. Bill, people are a little cranky about this year's income tax. I mean, they got a big break during the year, but if you were unlucky to be in one of those salt states, income tax very, very, very painful this year right now.
Well, it is, and some of the candidates running for office are even saying they want 90% income tax. And I wrote a book. It's called The Interesting History of Income Tax. Did you know that prior to the Civil War, there was no income tax, that the federal government was supported by tariff taxes, which were imports from other countries, and excise taxes on specific items like salt, tea, tobacco. And the problem was the tariff taxes that helped the North hurt the South. So the North had factories, and when you made foreign goods more expensive, it made people buy stuff from your local factory. Mm-hmm. The South didn't have factories. And so they either had to buy more expensive stuff from Europe because of these tariff taxes or stuff that was more expensive from the northern factories. Mm-hmm. At one point, 90% of the federal government was financed by tariff taxes collected at southern ports. And they would threaten to secede, and the federal government would send troops to say, no, you're going to collect these taxes. Well, obviously, we had the Civil War. Lincoln pushed through the first income tax during the Civil War. It was called the Revenue Tax, and it was to raise $750 million to fund the Union side of the war. Mm. And after the war, the income tax was repealed. Yes. It was an emergency tax, and in 1873, there was no emergency, so it was repealed. So no income tax in America again.
Well, Bill, let me ask you, hang on one second. Relevant to the revenue tax in the Civil War, was the South paying into this, or because they were, you know, they were at war with the North, did they ignore the revenue tax?
Right, right. They did not pay it. They were trying to get trade going with Europe for cotton. Well, and it shows you how strange things are. Mm-hmm. They had a bumper crop for 2 years, and Europe bought a whole lot of really cheap cotton.
Mm.
Now, their harvest was bad. The Civil War is starting. The price of cotton is higher, and the Europeans are buying less and less. and they decide to burn a whole bunch of their cotton, figuring if there's less cotton, the price will go up. And it went up. Mm-hmm. And Europe's like, well, you know what? We got colonies in India and China. We can get cotton from there cheaper than America. Right. And so the South was like really financially strapped. But after the war, the South didn't have a voice. The North passes all kinds of tariffs, and they work. Mm-hmm. And they create these enormous factories, these industrialists. And for their part, we did see the fastest rise in the standard of living of any civilization in world history. We had iron for railroads and bridges and all these appliances so women didn't have to spend all day weaving thread. We had pipes and water and all kinds of things. And so the standard of living rose, but there was an accumulation of wealth in the hands of these industrialists.
Right.
And with a whole lot of German immigrants coming over and the Marxism being introduced over there,
mm-hmm.
sure enough, there was a movement to tax the rich people. Karl Marx said, every man according to his ability, to every man according to his need. Sounds good. Never mm-hmm. really works out that way.
Right.
And so the first peacetime income tax is proposed in 1892, but the Supreme Court declared it unconstitutional, that any legislation that discriminates based on race, religion, or economic status is class legislation and leads to abuses. Boy, could you imagine that, the Supreme Court declaring income tax unconstitutional?
Amazing. And then what they went after the top 1%, right?
Right. So you had Teddy Roosevelt pushing through the inheritance tax, because only these rich industrialists had an inheritance worth leaving. Republican Taft pushes through the corporate income tax, because only the extreme wealthy had corporate stock. But finally, Democrat President Woodrow Wilson said, let's not cut around the bush with inheritance and corporate. Let's just go right at them. And he pushed through a 1% tax on the top 1% richest people in the country. It was just to go after those industrialists, the Rockefellers, the Carnegies, the Astors, the Gettys. It'd be like today, only Bill Gates and Warren Buffett are going to pay it.
Mm.
And the people in the country said, doesn't no skin off our back. Sure, go ahead and tax them. And so the 16th Amendment was passed in 1913. But then we began to see another development, World War One. And the country said, well, we had an income tax emergency during the Civil War. Now we have another war, so I guess it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
So Woodrow Wilson expanded the income tax again. And this time, a large percentage of the country paid it. But after the war, it was reduced back to the soak the rich tax. It wasn't until FDR comes along and another war, another emergency, World War II.
Mm-hmm.
And it was Franklin Roosevelt that pushed through the largest tax increase in American history. And he also began paycheck withholding. It was an emergency effort to get money to fight Hitler, and it stuck. Right? Hitler's
right.
defeated, but we're still paying withholding tax. It's
exactly.
Like, where did this come from?
Yeah, Hitler's gone, but we're still paying it. Oh, yeah, by
the way. John F. Kennedy, 1961, said, in meeting the demands of war finance, the individual income tax was moved from a selective tax imposed on the wealthy to the means by which the great majority of our citizens participate in paying. So he even acknowledges it's just the wealthy that paid it, but the war finance changed it. And then you had the withholding was invented by Beardsley Rummel. He was the head of Macy's department store. He became the head of the Federal Reserve Bank in New York, and he called it the pay-as-you-go tax. So most people were making maybe $5,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't saving up money to pay the tax at the end of the year, and so it was this thing, we'll forgive you for not paying last year, just sign up for this year. And so Kennedy writes, withholding on wages and salaries was introduced during the war, when the income tax was extended to millions of new taxpayers. So, again, it was just during the war.
Mm-hmm.
But something happened. When you raise taxes, water seeks its own level. You squeeze the sponge and the water goes out. You raise taxes on businesses in America, and guess what? The businesses flow to other countries.
Exactly.
And
it's amazing how that's an incentive in the wrong direction. Bill, we got to go to a quick break. Bill Federer is with us. We're talking the history of taxation. Oh, yeah, it is. And it's coming around the corner. It's coming upon us quick, April the 15th. More from Bill Federer after this.
She seems happier. Her fur is so much shinier, silkier, softer. She has really mellowed a lot.
Sheba is 105 lean pounds of shiny, smooth, happy dog for life.
The shedding has stopped. The itching has stopped.
Since 2001, we've helped more than 250,000 dogs get over their nutritional deficiency miseries.
And saved our customers bazillions in vet bills.
Everything we tried failed except the Dynavite.
Come to Dynavite for help.
DINOVITE.com.
If you want the dog to be healthy, you got to feed it something healthy.
The omega-3 fatty acids.
Flaxseed, zinc, alfalfa.
The digestive enzymes that are cooked out of regular dog food.
Dynavite is nutrition.
Dynavite for life.
Don't let your dog itch, scratch, stink, or shed like crazy.
Come to Dynavite for help.
859-428-1000.
859-428-1000.
DINOVITE.com.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Let me ask you something. What are you doing when you put money in a 401k or IRA, or store jumper cables in your vehicle, or purchase health insurance? You're preparing. You're preparing to ensure you have enough money for retirement. You're preparing for when your car battery dies, or to have assistance paying a major unexpected medical bill. That all makes sense. The same goes for building a food storage plan. You're preparing for when emergencies or disasters strike and shelves go empty at your grocery store. The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply. They've helped a million hardworking Americans become more self-sufficient. My Patriot Supply sells hundreds of items, including dozens of emergency food kits, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It could be an earthquake, a cyber attack freezing our banking system, or a disaster that shuts down our power grid for weeks. For all these emergencies and more, get your supplies and prepare today at MyPatriotSupply.com. No more rushing to find empty store shelves because you're too late. Do it now so you're ready. MyPatriotSupply.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ, based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
Just the way you like us. Bill Martinez here. We come at you every day, Monday through Friday, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. Best-selling author and historian, the one and only Bill Federer, continues with us as we talk about his latest book, The History of Income Tax. Okay, Bill, so here we are. We're at this point now. We're, you know, all in the name of war. We all have to have skin in the game, so we kind of get used to this tax thing. And meanwhile, the legislators are taking note of this and saying, okay, what else do we do now?
Right, so we sort of see a connection between an emergency of a war to this thing called income tax, the Civil War, the World War One, World War Two. In other words, it's a political phenomenon that if you let something become an emergency, people will hurry up and let their freedom get taken away for this emergency. Mm-hmm. And then once the emergency's passed, the freedoms are still taken away.
Right.
And anyway, businesses are in business to make money. And you and I, if you're driving down the street and it's $5 a gallon for gas on your side, but the other side, it's $2 a gallon. Question, are you going to make a left turn to get the $2 a gallon? If you're willing to do that, you cannot fault businesses for going overseas. So after World War II, we rebuild Germany and Japan with brand new equipment. They're producing stuff cheaper and less expensive than our old pre-World War II clunky machines. They're gaining a larger percentage of the global market, and we're losing jobs.
Yeah.
And so John F. Kennedy said, it's of the utmost urgency that we cut taxes. He says, I've asked the Secretary of Treasury to report whether our present tax system is stimulating an undue flow of American capital to industrial countries abroad. Kennedy writes in 1961, in those countries where income taxes are lower than in the United States, the ability to defer payment of U.S. tax by retaining income in the subsidiary companies provides a tax advantage to companies operating through overseas subsidiaries. It's this idea that, yes, you squeeze the sponge, the water goes out, you make it more expensive to have business in America, the business is going to leave America.
Exactly.
And then Kennedy said...
And the modern-day Democrats have forgotten that part of history. They can't see the relationship there. I mean, this is all... proven stuff. It's empirical. And, you know, it wasn't like John Kennedy was a genius. I mean, it's easy to observe, right?
It was so easy. He says this, a tax cut means higher family income, higher business profits, a balanced federal budget. Every taxpayer in his family will have more money left over after taxes for a new car, a new home, new convenience, education, and investment. Every businessman can keep a higher percentage of his profits in his cash register, or put it to work expanding and improving his business, and the national economy will grow. So in other words, people will buy more stuff, factories will have to hire more workers to meet the increased demand, and you'll get rid of unemployment. The only caveat is you give tax cuts to businesses that are on American soil.
Yes.
You don't give tax cuts to businesses that have already moved overseas because they're taking advantage of the cheaper labor overseas. You don't give them a double tax cut. Mm-hmm. And
Didn't we try that for a bit, though? I mean, some kind of idiot economic genius came up with that idea. We're just going to give them double breaks, double incentives, and then they wonder why they're not coming back to the United States.
Yeah, and then those businesses that have already moved overseas pay money to lobbyists to go to Washington, D.C. to lobby congressmen to lower the tariffs even more so they can bring their stuff even cheaper, which puts out of business more jobs.
Yeah.
Now, one other part of the equation is John Maynard Keynes. He was an economist. He invented debt-stimulated economy.
Mm-hmm.
What's that? It's like a circle. The government goes in debt to create jobs in the private sector. The private sector jobs pay taxes. The taxes pay off the debt. Really pretty on a chalkboard. The only problem is it never happens.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because it's administered by politicians. And politicians want to get reelected, so they want to go in debt, but they don't want to pay it off. Let the next Congress pay it off. And this thing mushrooms and grows. There was actually a Nobel Prize-winning economist named James Buchanan. Not Pat Buchanan, James Buchanan, in 1980. And he wondered why, he's an economist, why is this biggest item on the budget, taxes and national debt, why does it keep getting bigger? Congressmen vote for it. He goes into the decision-making process that congressmen go through, and he's looking at all the financial numbers. And then he realizes that when the congressmen are up for re-election, they will vote to increase the debt, to spend money in their districts, to help their re-election.
They're buying votes. They're buying votes with the people's money, right?
Exactly. And so here he wins the Nobel Prize because he found out what motivates politicians. Re-election.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Our national debt has mushroomed.
And at the basis of all this, Bill, is the age-old business axiom. That is that people will do that which they get rewarded for. So the incentive is for them to not to lower the budget, but to increase the budget so they get reelected. This is unbelievable. And here we are when dealing with this reality and ignoring it and just accepting it as just the modus operandi. This is just the way politics runs in America.
Well, and then you overlay the socialist strategy. So here's Lenin. He says the goal of socialism is communism. So Vladimir Lenin said you have to crush the middle class because they're the only ones that can challenge the elites that are in charge. And he says, quote, the way to crush the bourgeoisie, the middle class, is to grind them between the millstones of taxation and inflation. So here we're sort of doing it ignorantly, but here we're implementing the socialist strategy to get rid of the middle class, and all you end up with is a divided few elites that run everything, and they're smarter, and they just basically want to stay in power, and then the common people that are all equal because they're poor.
and that's what we have right now, Bill. I mean, they call it an hourglass economy. And it's that middle class right in the middle that has been absolutely annihilated, specifically under the Democrats and Barack Obama. And Trump is trying to, you know, breathe some air and fatten up the middle of the bourgeoisie, the middle class economy. And but right now it's like it's still a little bit of the system is rigged against the middle class, because what the Democrats have enacted in the last couple of decades, boy, you're not going to overcome that overnight or just by, you know, eliminating some regulations or lowering taxes. I mean, this is a longer term project, is it not?
Right. And so you have the George Soros, the Bill Gates, the Warren Buffetts. They're in business to make money. They're smart, and they find ways to not have to pay the taxes. And so it's the middle class. And I love Ronald Reagan's quote. He says, personally, I like space. The higher you go, the smaller the federal government looks.
yes.
Now, we didn't mention it, but churches. Now, churches provided hospital care. The churches invented hospitals. It wasn't the government. Churches invented schools. Mm-hmm. They were the welfare program. They're the ones that took care of the immigrants. They kept families together, so there was less welfare programs. And when immigrants came to America, their family members were the welfare program. They didn't sign up for anything. It was all there. And so so you see, the church also provided a moral population that believed there was a God watching you. He wanted you to be fair, even when no police were around. And so crime was lower. And they took care of unwed mothers and shut-ins and wounded soldiers from the war. The church provided all these social programs.
Exactly. FDR comes in. Says, it's the government going to take care of you.
Right. So the churches have neglected their responsibility, and the government has usurped their responsibility. So, yes, the poor should be taken care of, but it's not the government's job to do it. It's the church's job.
Exactly.
Yes, we should have health care, but it's not the government's job to do it. It's the church. Education, it's not the government's job. So the government has encroached into areas, and the problem is, anytime the government runs anything, it's run by people who want to keep their job.
Exactly.
And they're going to be tempted to use their position to have their job perpetuate and to go after those who want to get them out of a job. And it grows into something called the deep state, this enormous bureaucracy that sole purpose is to perpetuate itself. And they all want to use their position. And then those that are in the intelligence community, they'll use their position.
It just keeps going round and round. Bill Federer, we got to leave it right there. The interesting history of income tax. As you can tell, this conversation must continue with Bill Federer, and we can't wait to have him back. Bill, thank you again. Appreciate it so much.
This report is brought to you by the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, a contractor to the Beef Checkoff. Did you know 42% of people use their smart devices in the kitchen, and almost half of them have used it for cooking assistance? Modern technology is being applied in the kitchen in new and exciting ways. Now, advancements in artificial intelligence can even bring the skills of a chef and the knowledge of a rancher to the home kitchen with Chuck Knows Beef. Chuck Knows Beef, an all-knowing virtual beef expert powered by Google Artificial Intelligence, is here to meet the newest generation of family cooks with beef inspiration and technology. Chuck's knowledge can be easily accessed through a smart speaker. Jennifer Jasinski, chef and restaurant owner.
Chuck was designed to fit consumer needs with instant access to recipes, cut and nutrition information, and cooking tips wherever they happen to be. He can serve a great steak recipe and even text you the shopping list.
For more information, visit ChuckKnowsBeef.com. Again, that's ChuckKnowsBeef.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The federal government's jobs report just released showing the U.S. economy has bounced back from February's numbers. The Labor Department reporting this morning the nation added 196,000 jobs in March. That's a huge improvement over February when the economy created just 20,000 jobs. The unemployment rate last month remained at 3.8%. A young man found by police in Kentucky this week who claimed to be a boy who went missing at age 6 in 2011 is actually not Timothy Pitson, but rather 23-year-old Brian Michael Rennie. And this is USA Radio News. The military says one person is dead and another wounded after a shooting at a Virginia Naval Air Base this morning. It happened at Air Station Oceana in Virginia Beach and was on lockdown for some time, but that has since been lifted. This is USA Radio News.
Were you scammed into signing a timeshare contract? And did you miss the part that said you have to pay for your great idea? Not only for the rest of your life, but when you're not here anymore, you get to pass this turkey onto your family for them to pay for the rest of their lives. Thanks, Dad. Don't burden your family down the road, and don't be stuck with expensive timeshare payments forever. Get out of your bad idea timeshare contract guaranteed or pay nothing. Call Resort Release today and learn for free how their timeshare exit team can help you legally exit your timeshare contract. They've helped thousands of people, and they're A-plus rated with a BBB. So if you feel scammed, get mad, and get out of your expensive timeshare contract right now, guaranteed. Call N-O-W.
800-586-7112. 800-586-7112. 800-586-7112. That's 800-586-7112.
Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Rattle what more could you want? Bill Martinez Live. Turn it up.
Baby, why don't you just meet me in the middle?
Welcome back, America. Fresh and independent, just the way you like us, with a little bit of an attitude. Monday through Friday, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. Corbin Burson is with us. It's good to be talking. It's been a while, Corbin. I was looking back. I said, my goodness, why has it been, you know, a couple of years? I mean, I've talked to Jen Gotson Chandler a couple of times, and, you know, here it is. But finally, you and I get a chance to get caught up. How you?
Yeah, I like to make it difficult, man. I want to be, everybody always told me, Corbin, you got to be less approachable. I mean, I can't do it, man. No, you know, there's an important note to that, and that is I do quite a bit of work, and I'm one of these guys who actually loves to act, so I say yes, maybe more than I should sometimes to working, but you know, there's only certain times I really feel like there's something I really want to talk about. Not that the films I do, I don't care about, but, you know, when certain things really mean a lot to me, I'll make an extra effort in my day to make sure, you know, I help spread the word.
Well, I appreciate you coming on the show to spread the word about Sunrise in Heaven, which is coming out on DVD on April the 9th, they tell me.
Correct. In all your notorious places.
Exactly. Well, you co-starred with one of my favorite gals, Jen Gotson Chandler. She's become so dear, Corbin. In fact, last time she and I talked, we were talking about the last movie, or one of the last movies, Well, My Daddy's in Heaven, that you did.
Right.
And I guess one of the recurring themes throughout the filming of the movie was don't worry, you know, God's got this. And so I said, you know, Jen, that's a T-shirt. So I had these T-shirts printed up. God's got this. And I sent one to her and her husband. It's so cool. She sent me a picture back.
She goes, I'm good buddy. That's what I'm going to do a film that they'd asked me to come be a
a part of a wonderful little film they're putting together, a little, that's relative, you know, I'll let her tell you more about, but going off and filming that at the end of April, at the end of May.
Right. Actually. Well, Sunrise in Heaven, a true story of Jan Hurst and her book, His Sunrise, My Sunset. It's all about family, great, faith, resilience, good fun, but it, boy, I'll tell you, it takes you on an emotional ride, doesn't it?
It absolutely does. I'll tell you, there's an important thing in this movie, and it's, I think sometimes it's about timeliness and all of that, and it's something that struck a chord with me. I had seen the script early on. In fact, there was a moment I was thinking about directing it. I just couldn't fit it to my time schedule to actually make it and do it the way it needed to be done. So it's been done. And I said, but I'll still act in it. You know, I sometimes look at the world and there's so much discord right now. And I'm not just being political, but political, faith, people, socioeconomic. There's just so much discourse of, it's not just haves and have nots. It's, believe it or not, believe it, it's so much going on. And there's a beautiful message in this film, a beautiful, not a message, I don't like to think of things as message, but there's a beautiful thematic. And that is, and it, you just said it a minute ago, it runs through most faith-based films, but it's kind of on display here. And that is, you know, we're born into this incredible life.
Right.
Magnificent life that he has given us. You know, and I look at it every day. I've now moved upstate New York, and I see beauty every day, which I didn't necessarily see in Los Angeles.
Isn't that so cool?
Yeah, I wake up and see the beauty. I see his expression. I see his canvas. You know, rain or shine, fall or winter, summer, spring. Mm-hmm. I see it. I see the seasons. I see the things that he's created, this four-act play, if you will, of seasons. And within that life, especially as we get older, and I'm 64 now, as we all know, for reasons that we just have to have our faith in him,
yes,
for reasons unknown to us, sometimes we are thrown this gauntlet of obstacles, some of them bigger than others. You know, I missed my plane, small one. Ooh, my dad's got cancer, big one.
Yes.
We are thrown this gauntlet of obstacles. And in life, part of our challenge is to run that gauntlet. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as my son says, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. So in the case of this film, what takes us, those of faith, is that God is there. And not only has he got your back, but you don't question why he put the gauntlet there with all the beauty and all the magnificence. You simply understand that it's part of his plan. And I do know that what doesn't kill you, what doesn't make you defeat yourself, brings you closer to him. And maybe that's the purpose. I don't know the purpose. We don't know. That's the mystery of it. We don't know the purpose he has in mind, only that the gauntlet's there and heaven and sunrise is the rainbow that we all chase, if you will.
You know,
and it's through our faith, our unflinching moment-to-moment faith, that we can get through this gauntlet, as in the case of the movie Jan did. You know, in an early age, even just tried to convince her father, the role that I play, which is a young girl, that she wants to be with this young man, that's an extraordinary young man that I have trouble with.
Yes.
And later in life, she has a terrible accident that her husband, who she fought so hard for at the beginning of her life, is in a life-threatening accident, and she has to make big decisions. And that's, you know, I think we're in that world right now. Right. Got to make these choices, man. We got to, you know, you can't say, God, why? You have to trust in God that there's purpose to the gauntlet.
You know, to hear you talk, Corbin, what comes to mind here, and probably the reason why there's so much fussing, is because our selfishness is ahead of our faith. You know, when you abandon faith and you apprehend and hold on to selfishness and self, you are in for real turbulent times. In faith, you can go through turbulent times, and you know, just as you said earlier, God's got your back. But if it's all about you, you can't even see and or appreciate the hand of God upon your life, even during those tough times.
You can't, and I'll tell you, I'm going to take it one step further, and this is for people of deep faith and deep conviction. What I've learned is I don't even want to question the why. I want to live in the moment of now, that that is what God has for me. That is this moment that I have to deal with. Not why God, oh, why God, have you forsaken me? Why, you know, that just creates more turbulence too. You have to get to this place, and very few people have it. Like, you get some bad news. You know, these poor parents of this girl down in South Carolina, their daughter gets into an Uber, she thinks, the other day, and they find her dead the next morning. You know, believe me, that is when your faith is tested. And, you know, we all pray for that family and for that girl. But it's so hard to say, you don't want to go through that period of why God. You can be angry, you can be pissed off.
Right.
But the sooner you can get to God's got purpose in it, the better. And I'll tell you, the big prize, to describe it, is in those kinds of situations, not only do you not question, but in the case of like this young girl or whatever it is, I'm astonished. And I can't tell you I'd be there. Honest to God, I can't tell you I'd be there when you forgive the person that's done you wrong.
No doubt. Yeah. Now, that's the difference between justice and mercy, buddy, let me tell you. Right?
Yeah.
God extends mercy to us. He's the example. We want justice.
Right.
God says no mercy.
Right.
And
absolutely.
Very difficult. You're right. And when you get to that point and you really have to deal with that, you talk about turning yourself inside out and not being selfish. Well, you're fighting
impact. I think you've got to, it's a two-step process. You have to have ultimate faith in God. You can't even do that unless you're ultimate faith in God.
Right.
Unflinching, unquestioning, straightforward.
This movie is that's coming out in DVD on April the 9th, and on demand is one of those experiences like what you're talking about, Corbin, Sunrise in Heaven. And this is going to be a real blessing for people. Once again, our heartstrings get touched, but beyond our heartstrings, it's our very soul and spirit, possibly, right?
Right, absolutely.
Well, Corbin, always a joy. I appreciate your time. Thank you so much. Congratulations on Sunrise in Heaven. Stay in touch, because I know you got bigger and better things to handle than, painting that is probably more immediate. Can't wait. Okay.
Thank you, bud.
Corbin Burson, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Let's have a chat about your debit card, the card you use for the things you buy every day. What if you could get cash back every time you bought those things? Well, now you can. Introducing Discover Cashback Debit. Just open a Discover bank account and start earning 1% cash back on up to $3,000 in debit card purchases every month automatically. Plus, there are no monthly fees or minimum balances. Now you can get cash back on the way you like to pay. Open a Discover bank account and get the debit card with cash back. Go to discoverbank.com/debit. Limitations apply. Excludes money market accounts. Discover Bank member FDIC.
This report is brought to you by Bliftex. Odor Eaters is back for their 44th annual fun yet smelly rotten sneaker contest. All participants at this national contest raised a stink by showing off their foul-smelling sneakers at the annual event. Children traveled from near and far to compete at this year's contest hosted at Ripley's Believe It or Not for a chance to win the national smelly title, $2,500, and tickets to the Broadway show Aladdin. But only one lucky pair of rotten sneakers could be crowned the winner, and they belong to 15-year-old Seneca Slocum from Eagle River, Alaska. And while scientists thought that the human nose could only detect about 10,000 different smells, they recently discovered that this number increased to 1 trillion, making it possible for our judges to find a new foul scent on every sniff. George Aldridge, NASA's chief sniffer.
This year's participants really brought the smells with the foulest of odors. Kids are known for getting into some stinky messes, but these kids sure have a talent.
For more information, visit odoreaters.com. Again, that's odoreaters.com.
This Easter, Breakthrough, starring Chrissy Metz.
Boys, get off the ice!
He's been underwater for 15 minutes.
The odds were against her son.
He's had no pulse for over an hour.
Until his mother's prayer.
Please send her the spirit to save my son.
Proved the impossible.
We've got a pulse!
On April 17th.
I don't believe John will survive tonight.
Discover the incredible true story.
You don't know my son.
Of an extraordinary miracle.
He is a fighter.
Breakthrough, rated PG. Parental guidance suggested. For tickets, go to breakthroughmovie.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
$1,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need survivalist camps, the ultimate fully functional off-the-grid mobile survival bug out house that's well equipped and custom built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family survival to survivalistcamps.com.
America, 14 minutes before the top of the hour. Bill Martinez here. For more information on the show, go to BillMartinezLive.com. It's been a while since we've had a chance to talk with Phil Lawler and Dave Arnold, but they are back. Yes, the writers, directors, voice actor, producers for Focus on the Family's created radio drama, Adventures in Odyssey, as you'll recall. Phil, Dave, welcome to the show. How are you?
Good, Bill. How are you?
Hey, great to have you guys back. Let's talk about your latest project. This is number two book, Phil, I should say, in the Wit series, Young Wit, which we had talked about the last time we were together, talking about Adventures in Odyssey, but now we're on book number two.
The book number two is called The Shroud of Secrecy.
Yes.
It picks up where book number one left off. So,
okay.
It's a wonderful, rollicking adventure, just like the first one was. But we get a little bit more into the story, of young Wit and how he grew up and how he became the man that we know and love as John Avery Whittaker today.
That's great. Dave, a little background on, on young Wit and this project and how you and Phil have collaborated once again.
Well, I mean, collaboration process is ultimately exhilarating and frustrating because the farther you get into the history of John Avery Whittaker, it opens up so many things that you've got to discuss. And as we've gotten farther into the series, we've had to get deeper and deeper and deeper into some of the forces that have defined his character, things that were huge challenges that he had to face. Momentous kind of decisions he's had to make. And what they'll find in the second book, and again, like the first book, in the second book, young John Avery Whittaker is not yet a believer. Mm-hmm. But God has a wonderful way of taking the day-to-day events of our life and the struggles and trials that we go through and using those as fulcrums to help us to see our need for him. And in the second book, Johnny is doing what oftentimes we as believers have to do, and that's come to the end of ourselves. And sometimes the pressures of life can seem overwhelming, but when we look at them in the view of eternity, they open up a vast, wonderful world that God has prepared for us. And that those are the kinds of things that we begin to see happening in the life of young Johnny in book number two.
Exactly. Well, Phil, different medium here. I mean, radio, theater of the imagination. Now in written form, how much of a challenge has this been?
That's an interesting question because, you know, story is story. And I'm a firm believer and teach my students over at Azusa Pacific University that story is everything. Because everything is a story.
Yeah.
My whole lives are really one small story connected to the next story, connected to the next story that make up a whole day. And then the day makes up another day, connects with another day that makes up a week. And then those weeks connect up to months and then years. And then we got a lifetime. So really our whole lives are stories. And when you understand basic principles of storytelling about character, plot, dialogue, theme, things like that, then you can make the transition a little easier as far as different mediums. Now, you know, storytelling for audio drama is unlike anything else in show business, I think, anything else in the storytelling world, because you really have the dialogue, you're heavily dependent upon dialogue, you can't see the characters, and so everything has to be told through what the characters are saying. In a book, of course, you've got a lot more latitude in terms of getting inside the character's head. You can figure out what their motivations are. As the writers of this book in particular, we go inside lots of characters' heads, but especially young John Avery Whitaker's head.
Mm-hmm.
Just as to what he's thinking and how he's feeling and how he's responding to all of these things. And that, I think, makes a book a far more intimate kind of writing. It's a far more intimate kind of storytelling. You really are connecting with the character in a way that you can't connect with them in other mediums. But the audio drama still remains my favorite way to tell stories, I have to say. It's just so much fun to tell stories that way.
Yeah, I can imagine. Dave, what Christian themes have you guys integrated in the book?
Well, I think the stories of, golly, there's so many different ones.
Mm-hmm.
Sacrifice, themes of really putting others above ourselves, considering the needs of others. In this particular book, Johnny comes to meet some new characters, in particular a young boy named Steve and his brother Paul. Steve has been born with muscular dystrophy.
Mm-hmm.
And so at the end of the first book, our readers will remember, and I don't want to give anything away in case they haven't,
mm-hmm.
but there is something that happens at the end of the first book that Johnny wants to employ as a means of helping this person.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the beginning, the germ of faith, I think, in John Avery Whitaker. And one thing I do want to say about these books, and it was really interesting because I hadn't really thought about it before until I think you mentioned this to me, Phil, from one of the longtime Odyssey folks that have listened to the show. They didn't pick up the first book for the longest time because they thought, oh, this book is probably going to be for young kids, little kids.
Mm-hmm.
And the book series certainly is for kids, but the thing he said about it is that it surprised him how epic the series felt, that it wasn't just written for young adults, but that adults and teenagers and adults of all ages would enjoy this book. And in fact, the reviews that we're getting from parents who are reading this book with the first book in particular, because the second one just came out, is that when parents are reading the book with their kids, they're enjoying the story as much as the kids are, and they can't wait for the next one to come out. So I would encourage people who think, well, it's just a kid's book. It really, what we've always tried to do with Adventures in Odyssey is to span generations.
Yeah.
Right. So that we will plant information that will definitely speak to a younger audience, but it can be absorbed and enjoyed by multiple ages because of the way that we've crafted the writing, you know, in able to, you know, different people will pick up different things about the writing as well. So I think I just kind of rambled on and on and on about five different things, but I think that's an important thing for some of the listeners to understand is that I think the series will really appeal to any generation, really.
Right. Well, I'll have a testimony here for you shortly because I'm on my way to Hawaii to share the first book with my grandson. So I'm looking forward to seeing and hearing and witnessing his interaction with this. This is going to be good fun, so I'm looking forward to it. In the book, Phil, Johnny questions God's existence. And how will his faith journey impact young readers?
Well, it impacts us the same way as everybody does. We all have these questions in the back of our minds all the time. Who am I? Where am I?
Why am I here?
Where am I going? Why am I here? What am I doing here? And we all ask those questions. Some people ask them in a really, really deep, deep, deep way and want to really, really get into them. Some of us are. Some of us are more satisfied with, well, I'm just here, so, you know, I can't answer those questions, so let's get on with life. But I think that there's validity in doing both, thinking about it deeply, and also then saying, well, you know, if it's unanswerable, I'm just going to get on with life and continue to move on. I think for Johnny, though, and for the readers of this book, what happens is he's a very deep thinker, Johnny is, and he feels this stuff very, very severely, and he takes it very seriously. And at the same time, he's a young man of his age, and his age is basically an age of adventure. He wants to do things. He wants to go and do. Teddy Roosevelt was famous for writing, "Get action, do things." And I think that that is something that young John Avery Whitaker, and even as he grew older, still does. He still wants to do things. He's a man of action, and he wants to use his intellect in that way. But he also stops and thinks, well, where did my intellect come from? How did I become me? Mm-hmm. And when anybody who takes that seriously, anybody I think who thinks about that in a serious way, has to start asking questions that may be uncomfortable for them, but they have to start asking questions that eventually lead to them saying, well, do I believe in God or do I not believe in God? And if I don't believe in God, I have to have a really good reason to not believe in God. And then I also have to have really good reasons for believing in God. But I have to also understand that faith plays a humongous role either way.
Yes,
so if
exactly.
you're going to have faith as a part of your background, if we are creatures of faith, no matter what, no matter which way we go, then we better actually look for answers in both directions. And for young John Avery, of course, what we try to do is make sure that he is not in a manipulative way, but in a very natural, organic way, asking
exactly.
the right questions.
Yeah, and it does. It does beg the big question and commands an answer. And this
sure.
is a great way to get the conversation going, Dave Arnold. And, you know, as we wrap things up today, Young Wit, Young Wit and the Shroud of Secrecy, book number 2 in the series of Young Whitaker. And they can get their hands on it in all usual form and fashion, right?
Yeah, again, like we said last time, certainly available through the Focus on the Family bookstore. So if you go to Focus on the Family and enter the store there, you can locate it there. You can find it on Amazon. You can find it on CBD. If you can find a Christian bookstore, it's probably there, but there aren't that many of those anymore. So,
right.
Yeah, usually it's through all those other avenues, you can certainly find it there.
Well, we got to leave it there, guys. As always, appreciate the time. Phil Lawler, Dave Arnold, writer, director, voice actor, producers for Focus on the Family's created radio drama. You know, always good to have them. And we're talking about their latest book. It's number 2 in the series, Young Wit and the Shroud of Secrecy. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. Take care.
Are you a stock or options trader looking for real trading strategies that you can use immediately? Hi, my name is Scott Bauer, CEO of Prosper Trading Academy, and I'm on a mission to become the number one options coach in America. I'm a former vice president at Goldman Sachs. I have over 25 years of options trading experience, and right now, I'm giving away my most famous options guide with over 20 unique options strategies that I use every day for free. You can't buy this guide anywhere. To claim your free options trading guide, simply call 855-844-9702. Now, and mention my name, Scott Bauer, and we will rush you the guide. Call 855-844-9702, and someone from my options team will help you get this guide in your inbox as quickly as possible. Call 855-844-9702 now and start learning to trade the right way. Simply call 855-844-9702. Prosper with options.
Stocks and options trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. bacon lovers.